In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us for the Word for Life. I'm Jack Gardner, Word for Life producer here with lead pastor at Brookside, Pastor Ken Keldner. We're really glad to have each and every one of you with us today.
We sure are, Jack. We're glad that you all tuned in, and trust that the study in Joshua will be a great encouragement and blessing to your heart as it has been to ours.
Right, and we are in the middle of that. We do want to remind you, first off, a few things going on at Brookside. We have the Missions Conference coming up Wednesday, October 12th through the 16th. That'll have a lot of speakers in there as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Specifically, keynote speaker Jim Tillotson, president of Faith Baptist Bible College in Ankeny, Iowa.
Yeah, what a wonderful, he was a church planner in Canada for years. Number of people they led to the Lord in their church. He said, Ken, our church was made up basically of first-generation Christians. I was like, wow.
Wow.
You talk about a church moving forward to see that many first-generation Christians. And I wonder, I mean, you think of it as either you're driving along or listening this morning. I mean, where do you fall in that? Are you a first-generation, a second-generation, a third-generation Christian? The further you go down, the least you see involved in church today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, fourth or fifth generations? I don't know that you don't even need to ask that question, because you're probably not going to have any hands raised if you ask that. And so the Tillotsons will be a great encouragement, I know, to us.
We also have missionaries from Italy, Brian and Victoria Rice, and from Romania, Dan and Lynn Sehested. Did I say that right?
Yep.
Okay. And then the New York Gospel Mission in New York City is Bill and Jill Jones, and he was the first full-time pastor at Brookside as well. And then we also have from Peru missionaries Tim and Cheryl Chapman. They're all going to be
part of it. We had our teens go out to Peru here several years ago and minister with the Chapmans, and great trip, and they've been there for a long time doing a great work. So we want to encourage these missionaries, and so if you don't have a church home, we would love for you to pop over each evening. It'll be a 7 o'clock start time, and then Saturday night we have a banquet at 5 o'clock, and contact the church office for that.
Also, Sunday mornings we're in the book of 1 Corinthians. The gospel changes everything.
Yeah, and the gospel should change everything. I mean, in fact, we're told that we're no longer old creatures. We're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But the church at Corinth was really Paul's problem child that he was having to deal with. And so sometimes it's like being on a roller coaster, up and down, with what he is having to deal with them concerning. And then, Jack, on Sunday nights, we're in the book of Psalms. And Psalms is just a wonderful book. Most people would say they try to read a psalm a day. And our theme has been praising through the psalm. And we're starting to get up into Psalm 20, 21, 22. So we're not going to do all 150, at least this first go around, but we'll try to get a good chunk of the Psalms covered and studied out.
Ron DeGard had gone through
Psalm 23.
Yeah, and he actually went through what, 20?
He probably went through 22, 23, and 24. It's kind of a triology.
Past, present, and future.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting. And
yeah.
Man, he did a great job.
Yeah. Yeah, he does a great job. Yeah, Ron DeGard, evangelist, has been with us here recently.
November 12th and the 13th, Mike Gendron is going to be here. He has a gospel ministry that helps navigate the subject of Catholicism.
Right. We look forward to having Mike with us. He wrote a book entitled Preparing for Eternity, and he'll have those books available here. I started reading that book. I couldn't put it down, so we look forward to Mike being with us.
We're back into Joshua. As you know, we've been studying the book of Joshua for quite some time, and we're already up to chapter 8.
I like how you said that. We're already up to chapter 8.
Have
you been with
us? Fast forward.
It's been a slow go. So, but chapter 8, God is just going to reassure Joshua that you don't need to be afraid. I mean, that's how he starts out verse 1. You can depend upon me. My promises are going to come true. I promised you I was going to lead the people into the promised land. And so That is because fear can be so crippling. And we talked about the definition of fear, of this unpleasant emotion. In fact, John tells us in his epistle there in 1 John, he said, perfect love casteth out fear. I mean, fear can just be devastating. You look at what we've been through with this COVID since 2020. Man, people have been crippled by that fear. Just live in fear. And the fear is, unfortunately, even for believers, has become stronger than their faith.
And you've always said the mind is the battlefield. And
oh,
boy, that is true. I mean, that can be our own four corners.
Yeah, we're already defeated before we even get up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the Israelites were when they were camped there in the Valley of Elah, and this giant on the other side was belching out blasphemies about the God of Israel, and a little shepherd boy hears that, and that shepherd boy wasn't going to put up with that. In fact, his brother said, "What, have you come to see the fight? You know, you're a squirt, basically. What are you going to do here?" And David actually took on the giant. And in verse 45 of 1 Samuel 17, listen to what David said to the Philistine. "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I will take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air, the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is God in Israel." In fact, when his brother came to him, initially when David was hearing Goliath with these insults and the blasphemies against his God, he looked at his brother and said, "Is there not a cause?" I mean, we have a great cause. But Joshua had to first be reminded, don't be afraid.
You know, we're made in the image of God, right?
Yeah.
I can only imagine how much he smiled when David said that.
Yeah, exactly. To Goliath. You know, there are 365, they say there's 365 verses that refer to don't be afraid, fear not, and 70 that at least deal with battle context, such as Exodus 14:13, and Moses said to all the people, don't be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more forever. And then in Deuteronomy 3:2, and the Lord said to me, do not fear him, speaking of the king of Og, for I have delivered him and all his people and his land into your hand. And really, Jack, the opposite of fear is courage. I mean, listen to the words of Moses to Joshua in front of all the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 31:7. He said this, be strong and of good courage. And if you remember when we were in chapter 1 of Joshua, how many times the Lord was telling Joshua, mm-hmm. do not be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you. You can count on me. You can depend on me. I mean, there are 3,000 promises to us in the Bible. And I wonder, can you think of one? Think of one as you're driving along or right now. What's a promise that you really can hang your hat on? When you have James 4:8, it's kind of a conditional promise. Draw near to God. And the promise is he'll draw near to us. How about John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, here's his promise, but shall have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And if you don't believe, you're condemned already, he went on to say. But if you do believe, you have everlasting life.
He'll never leave or forsake you.
There's a great promise.
There's no condemnation for those that are
in Christ Jesus. Paul telling that to the Romans there in chapter 8. And Solomon records for us in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man is a snare. It brings a trap, a snare. But whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So he says, do not be afraid. Then he's going to tell him, don't be discouraged. One of the key weapons of the enemy of the believer is discouragement. And God knew this would be a battle for Joshua. God had told Joshua back in verse 9 of chapter 1, have not I commanded you, there it was, be strong and of good courage, don't be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You think of what would be the opposite of discouragement? It would be confidence, it would be trust.
Encouragement.
Yeah, encouragement. Listen to what the psalmist in Psalm 56:3 said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. Back again to Achan's sin, as serious as it was, and the defeat of Ai, as devastating as it was, it did not mean the Lord had forsaken Israel. God was not through with Joshua as their chosen leader. Solomon said it this way, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now get this next phrase. Don't lean to your own understanding. We love to do that. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him, in other words, acknowledge God, and there's a promise, He'll direct your steps. I would ask the question, what do we do when the messenger of discouragement arrives? It can be from a well-meaning friend. Do you think Job's friends came to help him or discourage him? It can come from people who want to discourage you and make your life fearful. Think back to when Jezebel's messengers arrived with death threats for that great prophet Elijah. It can come in the way of defeating circumstances like what Joshua faced. It's like one thing after another, it seems like it just goes wrong or goes against us. For us and for Joshua, understanding God's way and His plan is going to be critical in order for us to see victory. Joshua had experienced just this great rewarding victory at Jericho, contrasted by the humiliating, traumatic defeat at Ai. And though Joshua is not directly responsible for Israel's failure, his initial response to the crisis served as a rather painful reminder that it is so easy for us to forget God and His promises. And so all the way in verses 2 through 29, it is going to just be God giving Joshua a reassurance of His plans. I mean, God's not withdrawing His blessings here. He doesn't withdraw His blessings permanently, even when we fail Him, when we sin. But we're told that when we do sin, that we're to come and to confess, that is to name our sin and agree with God we've committed that sin and He's faithful. Now get the legal aspect. It says He's just to forgive us our sins. However, if I want to continue in my sin, I will be convicted. If I don't respond to His conviction, then I will have to respond to His chastisement on my life. You think of Samson. He kept knocking all the stop signs down that God kept putting up in his life. And I'm thankful that the God of grace that we serve gives us a second, a third, and a fourth chance or fourth opportunity. And here right away, God assures Joshua, you're going to have victory. What a reassurance in helping him. And friends, I'm going to tell you today, I trust God's word will be a reassurance to you of your confident hope and expectation and trust that you can have in Him. Have a wonderful day and join us again for the next broadcast of The Word for Life.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on The Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.